Hello. There has been more fighting overnight in Sudan, where rival forces remain locked in a power struggle despite international calls for a ceasefire. The UN says more than 180 people have been killed in more than 3 days of fighting between the Sudanese army and the nation's largest paramilitary force. Nearly 2,000 people have been injured in the capital, Khartoum, and other regions. The UN's envoy to Sudan says the warring parties are not open to talks. Hospitals, homes, and power stations have been shelled. And we have satellite images that show the extensive destruction to airports and government facilities. Khartoum International Airport has sustained some of the worst damage from the conflict. At the airport, which also has a military wing, at least 20 aircraft have been damaged. That includes a mix of civilian and military fighter jets and helicopters. And at the Al Obeid military airbase, which also has a civilian wing, those images show at least 4 destroyed aircraft on the tarmac, including 3 fighter jets. Well, Sudan's military jets have been bombing positions of the rapid support forces at the Marawi airport. That's in the north, including a hangar at the airbase. And in the center of the capital, Khartoum, smoke has been seen rising above the intelligence building, the Ministry of Education, as well as a train station. Let's bring in Hiba Morgan, who's joining us now from Khartoum. So, Hiba, what's the situation like from where you are?
Well, it was a bit of a quiet night around the central part of Khartoum, but there was fighting in the northern part of the capital as well as in the southern sides as well. But in the early hours of the morning, we were able to hear helicopters, fighter jets, airstrikes being launched around the vicinity of the presidential palace and around the vicinity of the general command of the army. So it looks like both sides are trying to vie for control of these positions. The rapid support forces released footage showing their presence inside Khartoum International Airport. It's not clear when this was taken and who has control of the airport at the moment. That's one of the points of struggle between the two sides. Civilians in parts of Khartoum report seeing tanks on the streets, that they can still hear the heavy artillery being fired, and that they can see the combat ongoing between the rapid support forces and the Sudanese army. So it's clear that on the fourth day of the fighting, this battle is continuing to take place in many parts of the capital, Khartoum, and in the northern part of Marawi. When you look at the other states, it looks to be relatively quiet. So it looks like most of the fighting is focused in these two areas, the northern city of Marawi and in the capital, Khartoum.
And Hiba, the latest figures we have are that 180 people have been killed. That's according to the UN. Thousands injured as well. How are hospitals coping?
Well, hospitals have reported that there are some of them that have been hit, and so they can't operate and give medical assistance to those who are in need. But there are also doctors who spoke to who say that the numbers reported of deaths and injuries is going to be far less than the reality on the ground, because many people can't access hospitals and many people can't seek medical attentions. And families have been reporting their loved ones and relatives missing. So there's a question of where are those people as well. They're quite concerned. They say that they're worried that their relatives and loved ones may have been killed in the fighting between the rapid support forces and the army, but their bodies cannot be retrieved because of the situation on the ground. Medics say they can't count the dead, they can't go out, they can't risk their lives because of the situation. Then there are those who are trapped for 4 days now with no food and water. Many people did not expect this fighting, so they did not store enough food and water for these days. And Khartoum is not a city prepared for war. Despite the numerous conflicts in Sudan, there was never any direct fighting between armed groups here in the capital. So there are no safety shelters. People say they don't know where to go for safety, and this has been the situation now for the past 4 days.
Okay, Hiba, we'll let you go for now. Thank you for bringing us that from Khartoum. We'll stick with Khartoum for a moment and speak to Hamid Khalafallah, who's a researcher and policy analyst, joining us from the capital as well. Thanks for speaking to us. What's it like from a civilian point of view in Khartoum right now?
Thank you. The situation this morning continues to be very difficult. They were just literally, as we are speaking now, a jet fighter hovering above residential areas, obviously in Khartoum Road specifically, and bombing, actually. It's difficult to tell what it's targeting for sure. but there are rapid support forces camps in several areas in Khartoum North. So perhaps this is what they're targeting. So the fighting continues as intensive as it has been.
Right.
On the other hand, the humanitarian.
Yeah. So how are people coping with all of this?
Yeah. On the other, like I was just about to say, on the other hand, the humanitarian situation is getting very difficult. People are finding it very difficult to manage. But I think the most alarming thing is that people are starting to run out of water because water has been cut in many areas around Khartoum since day one. So this is the fourth day today because the water stations were damaged due to the fighting. So in many cases, people are just starting to run out of water. There's no water to buy at shops because shops that are open are very limited and they have all sold out all the water that they have. Many of these neighborhoods also don't have power. And it's very difficult for anyone to access medical care, get their medicines, supply, and so on.
Right.
And in so many cases, people have died either because of the shooting or for other causes and so on. And the families have had to live with the bodies in the houses with no way of accessing a morgue or a cemetery.
Is it clear to you right now who has the upper hand in the capital and who controls the airport, for example? And how do you see this situation developing?
It's very difficult to tell who has the upper hand. We keep on receiving information from different actors, contradicting information from different actors. This battle and this fight between the rapid support forces and the Sudanese armed forces is not only one that's on ground, it's very much online. They have been using a lot of misinformation and disinformation tactics since day one. So it's very difficult to tell. For instance, the airport, there has been evidence that the rapid support forces was in control from different eyewitnesses and videos and so on. But then you would also see some other videos from the Sudanese armed forces suggesting otherwise. So it's very difficult to tell who actually has the upper hand.
Right.
But I think
and over the next few days, what do you think, over the next few days, how do you see this developing, next few days, next few weeks? What do you think is going to happen?
So there aren't any signs that any of the fighting forces are willing to stop fighting anytime soon. But their tone has changed, I think, yesterday a little bit, where they're showing a bit more openness towards, a ceasefire and talks. To what extent they are serious or they're just saying that to please the international community, we will have to test and see. But I think the international community pushing to send delegates to Khartoum, like the IGAD, pushing to send the heads of states of the IGAD member states and so on, that would be very important and that would be very useful because, like I said, they are saying that they're open, but we can't trust them until we see that they actually commit to a ceasefire.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. We thank you so much for joining us from Khartoum.